Welcome to Sci-Fi Camp. I'm your host, Andrew. Join me and my guests as we explore the tropes of classic campy sci-fi. Joining me on today's episode, once again, is Robert Fike, my first two-timer repeat guest, 2 months in a row with a month in between that we didn't record. So
much I'm trouble, really... we made it double.
That's right. We had so much fun. Honestly, when I was getting ready to record tonight, Rob, I actually was in my brain thinking we were doing I Freaking Love That Movie.
Oh, okay.
And then I was like, oh, wait, no, we're doing Sci-Fi Camp. So, but I always love recording with you. You're my best bud, so.
Hello, and welcome to, it's not. It's a glitch in our minds.
Yep. Like I said last time, it's been my honor and privilege to have known you for about 20-odd years, and I'm so excited to have you working with me at ANDAC and all of our different ventures. So thank you once again for being on Sci-Fi Camp, and I'm so excited to talk about what, you know, we're probably going to have to do to our brains because we've got too much stuff going on, Rob.
That is very true.
We'll not finish it in one lifetime. We're talking about uploaded consciousness. The trope in science fiction. We also can be known as brain uploading. At least that's what TV Tropes decided to identify it as. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when I look at it in the science fiction terms, I think I call it uploaded consciousness. And that's what we used in our book. So, and actually, I want to go ahead and take this opportunity to kick off right away. First things, just talk about our anthology that we're working on. So, in the anthology, this chapter is actually being written by my wife. So I'm very excited. I've gotten a sneak peek at her story and it looks really good. So, if you're listening to this episode before the, holiday season of 2022, get excited for uploaded consciousness story coming from my wife. If you're listening to this after holiday season 2022, go buy the book.
Yeah, it's already out. Fingers crossed.
Yes, right. If everything works right, it's already out. So Rob, yes. Let me tell you a little bit about uploaded consciousness.
All right.
In science fiction. Artificial intelligence is hard. You look at how much we've been doing now, even now, trying to make AI smarter and smarter and smarter. So the idea with uploaded consciousness is why reinvent the wheel? You've got plenty of humans walking around, dying, living, you know, breeding, all that stuff. So why don't you just pop one and upload their brain and their thoughts and their life experiences into a computer and utilize them for your artificial intelligence. Yeah. And alternatively, it's also used as a way for human beings looking to become immortal. So the idea is that they take their entire culmination of all their memories, their life experiences, everything in your brain that makes you human, and some way digitize those thoughts and store them onto a hard drive, and then essentially let a duplicate of you operate inside a computer. So as usual, computers have a lot of advantages over our bags of water that is human bodies, according to Star Trek. First of all, they're way faster. And if you remember in Battlestar Galactica, I think it was one, the guy who played Brother Cabell, he talks in one of the things about how he wants to see, you know, exploding stars and nebula with like x-rays and LIDAR and all this stuff. But instead they gave him two globular little globes of eyeballs and he has to suffer everything through this, this human eyeballs. So I think that's interesting because it is kind of like, yeah, I mean, if you were going to upload your consciousness into a computer, you'd want to take advantage of the multi-sensors. I mean, think about like when you unlock your iPhone, it's like with your face, it fires like a bajillion dots all over your face. It scans them, reads them back, does all this stuff. If your eyeballs could do that because you uploaded your brain to a computer, that would be next level. That is kind of in let's say the simplified terms, the two kind of main tropes behind upload consciousness or brain uploading, you know, usually it's a way to defeat death, or it's a way, like, I can think specifically of in Fallout, an example of the brain bots. They literally just took like a human brain, and now they didn't even upload the brain there. They literally cut it out of the skull, but they like put it inside the robot because they're like, there's some AI for us. So that's not quite brain uploading as more as it's like brain yes. removing.
But those were murder bots. So
yeah, they probably didn't like getting their brain separated from them.
Probably not.
So that is, in and of itself, again, different pieces, different kind of tropes. And, of course, with sci-fi, you can always take things in so many different directions. So, you know, one of the things about uploaded consciousness is, and this is actually something that's very real even today, is people are trying to do this. They're trying to fight back and beat death. But there is a lot of questions of, like, what is the legality of this? And what is the, you know, and there's also moral implications, too, and things like this. But, you know, it's you know, we're at the point in human history where, like, we want to be able to use our meat bags for as long as we can and then get rid of them, you know, and go digi.
Yeah, well, even I would say that, like, just look around us, even the events of today, this we've been living through this pandemic, and it's probably even more so than before impressed upon us, like, our mortality and how frail and fragile our bodies are. And so people are pushing for that. I would also just bring up, since we're talking about the legality of it, you know, Amazon, like, promoting that at some point Alexa will be able to, like, replicate, like, a dead relative's voice back to you. And I would say that this trope, above a lot of other sci-fi tropes, is one that scares me the most. I also think that, you know, sci-fi, you know, in its totality, we've always talked about how it is a genre where we get to stretch, like, those big human questions. And this is at the heart of it, for this trope, is, like, what happens when you die? And some sci-fi authors and creators have decided, instead of answering that question, they'd rather just circumvent the question entirely and figure out, how do we keep people living forever? And so they're like, put them up in the internet or something.
That's the fear, right? That's the fear that everyone has. I mean, the great unknown, that's, you know, death. Now, again, and we've talked about this before, but you and I both come from the Judeo-Christian background, so we have different kind of, like, upbringing and views on death and that final destination and what that means and things like that. So, you know, but when you approach it from the like a purely scientific standpoint, and you, like, take, like, faith or belief out of it, there is a certain amount of apprehension and fear, and if you can do something scientifically to prolong your life or essentially duplicate your life in a digital form, I can definitely see why there is a desire for that, or at least a desire to tell those stories. You know, and that's ultimately what we talk about in science fiction, is the stories we want to tell about the things that we face in the real world.
And I would say an example of that specifically is in Altered Carbon, which was a book series and is now a Netflix series. And they have people who can, they call them sleeves, but it's basically like this kind of, like, chip kind of thing where it houses, like, who you are, the you that makes you you, and you can be put into different bodies. And then there's rich people who just clone their same body over and over and just get reinserted. But there's a whole other group within that universe who decide to die. Like, they make that conscious choice of, no, I'm not getting the procedure. I will live my life to the extent that it was intended, and then I will pass on or pass away. And it always has, like, that interesting implication of, like, you know, they're pondering, like, what happens after this? Like, what happens when you circumnavigate that natural pathway. Like, right. Things live, things are born, they live, they die. What happens when you break the laws of, I don't know, in our minds, like breaking the laws of God and man,
right.
And that division.
Right.
And Altered Carbon kind of answers this in the way that, like, these people who have lived for hundreds, if not thousands of years, are kind of become like these little deities. And they own people and cities, and they show that they are, they've kind of taken some of the worst parts of humanity and, like, exemplified them. And, it's kind of, it's a little scary.
You know, and that kind of makes me wonder too, you know, and I haven't seen the show or read the book, but it kind of makes me think about, like, if you had a lot of money and you were uploading your, because I'm a programmer, right? As we talk about in Reboot, I'm a director of marketing, but I've also, you know, I've spent many years programming. And so I think about that as, like, you know, if we're talking about uploading your brain and its code, is there an idea that if you're rich enough, could you upload your computer or your brain into a computer, and could you reprogram and augment your brain in certain ways? So all of a sudden, as you let's say move yourself into upload yourself into another body, or upload yourself into a mainframe or something, can you then program in, like, a greater level of intelligence, a faster, you know, mathematical solving or whatever? You know, can you almost become superhuman in of yourself just by altering? Because now you, instead of it being a wet, mushy interface that is the gray matter of your brain, it's now, you know, ones and zeros.
Yeah.
So can you at that point change your brain?
And there were things like that in Altered Carbon where it would be like, here's your sleeve and we've augmented it with such and such. And then, you know, that was like their matrixy way of, you know, I know Kung Fu and that kind of thing. But it was like you have a good point. If you become software, if you become ones and zeros, or, you know, a very sophisticated program, like, at some point you would think that you would be able to say, you can upload my personality, but this this subroutine here that is my how I like to become anxious about things, I would like you to erase that. And we're going to replace it with some kind of useful information.
Yeah, it's kind of taking a step back from science fiction and going to our real world. There actually is two different projects I know of that have done something very, very limited to this. One is called the Open Worm Project, which they simulated in a very, very simplistic way the brain of a microscopic worm, but they actually put it inside a Lego robot to you know, pass commands and stuff like that. And then the other one is the Blue Brain Project, which they've claimed to have simulated a rat's neocortical column. And they expect to be able to simulate the entire human brain relatively soon, depending on who you ask. Now, from my understanding, from the people who actually study brain development and these kind of things, they say it's actually pointless to predict such a thing. Like, we're not really going to be able to understand the brain's complex structure anytime soon. But, you know, it's just interesting that there are people out there spending real money and real research actually doing this in the real world today. So, you know, I think that's really interesting. I remember watching a program once where they showed a gentleman who was actually, like, copying his consciousness and whatnot over into an android, for lack of a better word. Like, but the thing was, it was very, very, very rudimentary still, and things like this. And truthfully, it was like the person that was doing it was still going to die. Like, it wasn't like their actual consciousness would pass on. And I think that's the thing that in science fiction, we wave away that truth with the narrative plot, right? In the narrative plot, the character we're following all of a sudden wakes up in a computer or wakes up in a robotic body, and we don't see them experiencing that death. But in practice, that person still died. That person's consciousness, you know, at some point still died and they experienced death, and whatever copy of the consciousness that was uploaded just missed that part, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so that's kind of like in the episode of Stargate where that the guy who goes, Kontroya! Made the copy of all the people, Jack, Daniel, and Carter. They didn't remember, you know, to them, to us, really, from the story standpoint, we didn't remember them dying or whatnot or being captured or the brain being transferred because we didn't see it happen, and it happened post-transfer, right?
Yeah.
So to them, it was like this thing.
And that's an interesting you bring up, because you were talking about Battlestar Galactica before. Mm-hmm. Like, the Cylons are different in that way because they were never human
mm-hmm.
and biological. They've always been robots. And so they never had that, like, death in a mortality sense. Like, there's off and on, like a robot can be. Mm-hmm. And that's what... So they just experienced the switchover.
Especially since they won't really have felt that or experienced that in yeah. you know, a tangible physical sense. So like it'd just be like all of a sudden they started existing. And so, you know, I've got a kind of a who's of examples here. I mean, the idea of uploaded consciousness is just like pervasive throughout a lot of things. I mean, when we first talked about this, honestly, the very first movie I thought of was spoilers here, was Chappie. I, you know, I enjoyed that movie, and at the end of it, the character literally figures out how to upload his consciousness into one of the robots. And, it's interesting because, you know, and they kind of solve it the last minute with like a Deus Ex Machina kind of thing.
Yeah.
But like, it was one of those things where it was like, how do you turn everything that makes a human, their consciousness, their memories, their, you know, everything into code, you know? And so that's the kind of part they had to wave away with, you know, technobabble, you know, because we don't really have a good way of saying that, you know. A couple other examples from the movie world. I have to mention it just because I kind of laugh, but Batman and Robin. Alfred uploads his brain algorithms into the Bat computer.
You mean Bat algorithms?
Yeah, that's what it should have been. But yeah. And then, you know, in that too, I think Jim Carrey was stealing people's brain powers or something. I don't
That was
remember.
Batman right. Forever. But yeah,
that was Batman Forever.
The
right.
Schumacher Batman movies.
Yes. Said so yeah. to deal a lot with that brain action. So not quite sure if that fits the trope, but I saw it in yeah. a list here and I just had to bring it up.
Also really strange, like pseudo sci-fi babble. It's like, how is this plugging into his head?
Yeah.
Like stealing their intelligence or something
with a plunger.
it was somewhere along the lines of like our old parent line of like, stop staring at the TV, you're gonna get stupid. Like that's where it came from, and they went off of it for the Riddler. But yeah
another big science fictiony, well, blockbuster, not really science fiction. But and you're a big fan of is the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I am a fan, yeah.
And now I did see that there is some thought that possibly Jarvis might be an uploaded intelligence. I don't really buy into that. And they kind of point out that in Age of Ultron, it was the reverse. Ultron was trying to upload himself into a body. So yeah. It's kind of a thing. But the thing I thought of initially was Zola, the scientist.
Yes.
How we find out that he uploads himself into like 1960s level computers with tape drives. Which, I mean, if they talk about like having to try to upload a human consciousness now into like petabytes of data, I'm like, can you imagine that on tape drives?
That's why they needed that whole underground base in Winter
yeah.
Soldier.
I mean, I did enjoy it. It was fun. I was a little sad that they just like nuked him off the map like right yeah. away, though. They like
They're
just
like,
dropped
look
a bomb
at this
on him,
marvel
like,
of yeah. like magnificent technology, and then they just blow him up.
Yeah, they just wiped it out. So that was a bit of yeah. a bummer, but you know, I that was the first thing I thought of.
What I do love about that though is that whole scene is just super comic book. Like, just off the wall, like, pop pulp sci-fi, like just ridiculous. Because when they start them up, it's like there's tapes and stuff,
yeah,
like
yeah,
spinning and everything.
And the old style like green screen, yeah, comes on.
So, but not only does he, in this like 1960s, 70s technology, upload his brain, but he continues to work through things and has figured out who will be a problem for S.H.I.E.L.D. And so, so he's created this like prediction algorithm that's like on a, you know, practically clairvoyance. Anyway, this is, it's just an interesting thing. But yes, he uploads his whole brain into the thing, which I don't, again, with that, he was a known like Nazi sympathizer scientist. I'm not sure why they were like letting him do these kind of experiments. Keep going, buddy.
Moving on to TV shows, a couple I just want to hit on. I mean, there's a lot, of course, but a couple things I want to hit on is in Doctor Who, especially the newer series, it comes up quite a bit with people's brains being turned into computer code, computer data, things like that, you know, including even the TARDIS. Of course, there's a lot, too, with, like, what happened on Gallifrey back in the old series. That's kind of... There's a lot there and a lot of kind of like...
I think a really good example is Dollhouse, which was... It's like it was a really short-lived Fox series. The idea was that the person was uploaded and they were like in the database and then they would come back. They would, you know, download them down into the body. But it was also like what you were talking about before of being reprogrammed. So they were like memories wiped from them and they were... They would really using the person's body as like a blank slate and they would add in personality traits on a whim. But it was a really interesting take on the, you know, uploading brains and the potential of like, once you have no physical agency and your brain is uploaded to a computer, like what's to stop them from changing like anything about you and, or you just, you know, getting archived away somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what happens to Mr. House. And now, again, his brain was still attached to his body, but that kind of what happened to Mr. House in Fallout New Vegas a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he definitely lost all of his agency despite trying to control it with the robots. In Star Trek, in the original series, there is Dr. Richard Daystrom, who you recognize throughout the rest of Star Trek as like who the Daystrom Institute is named after, which is like the big, like, it's like Oxford University kind of thing for us now, if you think about it. He actually uploaded what they call his memory engrams, you know, and that's what the Star Trek term for, you know, mental patterns and things like that. They do that, creates a computer into an AI essentially with his brain. And then that kind of sets up further episodes of Star Trek, The Next Generation, and then Voyager. You know, you get a little bit of these things where you've get, especially where it comes to Data. Oh, sorry, not with Voyager, but with Next Generation, with Data, you know, and Maddox and things like that. You get a little bit of these ideas of what is Data's consciousness and his memory pathways and stuff like that, because Data now, he is a robot, but like can his memories be transferred? And so then what I was going to say with going with Voyager is the kind of same thing becomes with the Doctor, right? Because he is a computer with his entire memory and his entire life all in the computer already. And actually there was an episode in Voyager where the Doctor actually saves a person who is dying by putting their entire body into the, I believe it was the holodeck, because it was the only computer that they had that could like handle that much data for like a human brain or a human brain or whatever. And I think eventually they weren't able to, I don't remember the episode super well, but in the end, I believe that the person, they had to transfer the person back because the computer just could not handle that much data. And then they, you know, died.
I think those examples are really interesting because those are artificial programs, Data specifically trying to become human. The Doctor kind of becoming a facsimile of human as a, at some points, a comedic mechanism. But and what I think's interesting about, you know, Data specifically, but I think also, you know, the Doctor, what is human is the question that Data is always kind of seeking to understand. And you're talking about his like memory pathways, and his observations and how he interprets those. And I think a lot of people, you know, scientists who are trying to figure out, you know, artificial intelligence or brain uploading are asking those same questions. It's like, well, so what makes me human? Is it my memories? Well, couldn't a machine have memories? Couldn't, is what makes me human the interpretation of what I sense? Someone like Data, you know, an android like Data could have sensory inputs and understand sight and smell and taste and hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And what always seemed with Data, which was something that they did later on in Next Generation in the movies, was that the only thing that he didn't have necessarily was how those inputs and those memories made him feel, which may be what people would say, oh, that's what made him human.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that I have feelings about what I perceive.
Yeah.
And then how does that, going back to our trope, it's like, how does that change when my brain is uploaded into an artificial construct?
And I'm curious, and so I haven't seen season two of Picard, but I'm curious if they kind of dove into that a little bit, because at the end of season one, they did replace Picard's body, essentially, and transfer his memory into it. And I don't want to go too much into it to spoil too much for anyone who might not have still seen Picard, because it's new enough. And I know I might have done that for you a little bit. I'm sorry, Rob. but it is oftentimes I think about things like this, and this is a little bit of an offshoot here, but do you know about the Ship of Theseus at all?
I know that they talk about it on WandaVision in the final episode.
Okay.
As a way to say, am I me? Does the Ship of Theseus?
Yeah.
Cease to be itself if it's no longer made up of the parts of that it was? I think
it's a thought experience that goes back to like ancient Greece, and I don't know all the history, but the idea is, if you replace the pieces of this boat, when does it stop being the boat, or is it always the boat? And if you took all the pieces and made a new boat, is the new boat the Ship of Theseus or the original boat the Ship of Theseus? So
that's the I'm sorry, because I just probably spoiled the end of WandaVision for everybody. Sorry, everybody.
Going into our episodes, you just got to be watching for spoilers, I guess, about science fiction. So,
although I would say that it's a really good scene where they actually do have a conversation about that.
And Rob and I talk about this a lot, just in our personal life. Well, we've probably brought it up before on I Freaking Love That Movie, but, you know, I'm a firm believer that a movie or a show or something should be able to stand on its own merits and shouldn't all be about that final, like, spoiler. If it is, it doesn't have the story that really kind of takes it forward. So
you want to hope that your story and your content doesn't run on spoilers or hype,
right?
If it runs out of gas before it gets to the finish line because it was running on the fumes of hype, then maybe it wasn't. Maybe you should have put a little bit more into it.
Maybe you missed the mark in the first place. Yeah. So, all right. Well, moving on, Rob, you had mentioned a show called Upload.
Yes.
And I don't know anything about it, so I wanted to have you tell me a little more.
It's funny because I haven't watched it, so I don't have a lot to tell you about it. But the premise is literally what we've been talking about. The idea is that right before death, a person is uploaded into this virtual world, and that becomes their afterlife. And so it takes place in 2033. So scientists, you don't have a lot. You got about 11 years. So hurry up. They're trying to answer that question of where do you go when you die? And the question that this, you know, show is positing as well, instead of spiritually ascending to some higher or different plane of existence, we ascend to an artificially or a man-made construct in a virtual world.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. You know, obviously in a little bit more tangible way than in the ancient Egyptian mindset, but you know, like where your bank account literally better have a good interest rate because it's got to pay for you to live in this world for the rest of your life. There is in Halo. I mean, I've played the stories once, you know, through, and I don't know. I've paid a super great attention to the story of the later Halos, but from my understanding, that's something to do with the Forerunner. That they have uploaded their consciousness into like their armor and things like that. And I just want to make sure I don't not mention it. And then people are like, oh, but Halo's a good example, you know, because I want to make sure that, you know, obviously there's a lot of things we don't mention as we're doing this, you know, like I was going to talk about Portal, you know, and all the different stuff in Portal, but I really don't want to ruin Portal 2 for anyone because I love that, you know, I love Portal and Portal 2. So,
I haven't played
needless
it.
Needless to say, there's something in Portal that has to do with uploaded consciousnesses. Check it out. Play the game. It's amazing. There's a lot of other games where it becomes kind of the kickoff point for a story or about something. It's used a lot as window dressing or set dressing for like why robots are doing certain things or why robots are in place of where humans would be in your example. Like in the game Total Annihilation, there's like... That's kind of what sets up the core and the armed forces against each other. Starship Titanic, there is these personality transfers and things. And I would even go, now it's not on our list, but I even go so far as saying BioShock has a little bit of that because when you die in the game, you come back in like this... revitalization chamber, or even Borderlands, kind of the same thing.
Like, yeah, Borderlands.
When you go past these things, it like uploads your consciousness, and then like, and actually, one of the jokes in Borderlands that it makes, like, it's a random thing you can hear, but it's like, thank you for using the new you station or whatever it's called. It was, and not thinking about the fact that you are actually a clone of you that's been killed 400 and some odd times or whatever. You know,
so, hey, well, there's another one where it's like, don't think about that first time you died. Because that was the actual you.
That's when you really died. Yeah. Like I said, like I was saying, like just gets used a lot in games as a way to bring characters back so that it's not like that weird thing. You know how for a long time in games, it was like if you didn't hit a save point, it brought you back to an old save point and your character didn't actually die. So if you like, it's like in Star Fox. Like if you think about it, Fox McFox or whatever his name is, he actually did this all in one run technically because you know you when you restart it you're restarting from a save point, so it's like oh wait, he didn't actually die. So in the games to keep progression in, they say instead, oh, you upload your consciousness and then as you come back it's just a new clone of you or whatever. So that I think becomes just a tool in a game's arsenal. But it's never really a main point, except in a couple of the examples where we talked about.
Yeah, that kind of is like in some of those games, it's the meta narrative. Like they give an actual narrative explanation and it's uploaded consciousness.
One game I've been playing a lot recently that I really love, and I've talked about it before on Sci-Fi Camp, is a game called Stellaris. Hmm. And it's like a 4X video game where you go out and you have an empire and you're going out into the rest of the galaxy. But one of the they have random events that can happen. And I'm not going to spoil this for anyone who's going to play the game because I love, love, love this game. But one of the things that can happen is you can find a race of people who have uploaded their consciousness to a computer. And you have to decide whether you're going to be like, nah, that's cool, whatever, good for them. Or like try to save them. And all I'll say is if you've already got robots or droids in your empire, it's even better. So just so you know,
that sounds check juicy.
It out. I love this game. You should definitely check it out. All right. Well, so I think that about does it for the examples of things like that. I do want to talk about real quick, just you could call this an ad spot if you want. But my thing is, I just want to talk about real quick the Sci-Fi Camp. We're bringing the anthology of independent science fiction authors in and our special collected work called A Journey Through Aubrey Finch's Multiverse. We're really in the final we're in the final stages of writing. All the authors are finishing up their stories and submitting them. We're going to get them to the editor here in the next couple months. And I am just so excited for this story. I've gotten to read a couple of them so far. They're looking great. It's 12 it's essentially 12 chapters, 12 short stories, one chapter for each of the episodes we've done on this podcast here. Each one centers around a character named Aubrey Finch. And that's it. Everything else is different between them. That's why it's a multiverse. So I'm writing one. Rob's got two. He's putting the pen to paper for. Like I said, my wife's writing one. My sister's writing one. And we got a bunch of other people that we know that are writing them too. So no like big names here. I mean, Rob is published. I've got my own other book I've been working on getting out there. You know, we've got my sister's published in some fanzines and stuff. So we do got some, you know, very, like I said, independent
authors. We have good medium-sized names.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's good. I'm very excited for it. I'm just really hoping that everyone loves it. If you love this podcast, if you love science fiction, you know, check it out. Let your friends know about it. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Christmas for sure.
Yeah,
say that. I'm staying out with my fingers crossed for Christmas for sure. It's my big goal. So, very much looking forward to that, Rob. So. What are your favorite examples of uploaded consciousness? And in connection to that, what recommendations would you give to people who want to?
And I would say this for any kind of sci-fi trope or fun, you know, sci-fi content. I would say that watch Battlestar Galactica. I think the Cylons are really interesting. Their uploaded consciousness is on it's kind of a different angle. But it's really interesting. It starts off with a lot of action, but the inner workings of Cylons and their politicking and everything about them is really intriguing later on, too. So it's a very interesting, wonderful show, and I really do love it. I would also recommend checking out the first season of Altered Carbon. Netflix, a movie that I wouldn't say is great, but it is a great example of the trope, is The Sixth Day, which is the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie where people are being replaced by clones and uploading themselves and then downloading themselves into new bodies, which really reflects this trope really well.
For me, my favorite to this trope, I think, do you kind of come back to the board or the video games a little more so than anything else. Like I love Portal, but again, that's more set dressing. It's more story, just about the story. You know, it's not the upload consciousness doesn't make or break Portal for me, but it's part of it. So I feel like that it's just gives me a good excuse to recommend people go play Portal. Same thing with Stellaris. It's a very small part of it, but it gives me an excuse to recommend people go play Stellaris. Another one I think I forgot to mention, but in Stargate, the Asgard survived by uploading their consciousness from body to body. So, which is, of course, convenient because then when the main characters get killed... they're just like, I'm in a new body, you know. but so again, it lets me recommend Stargate SG-1. Great show. Love that show. So in that regard, Robert, before you go and upload your consciousness, I want to say thank you for joining me today. And I just want to give you a chance to tell the listening audience what you're up to these days, where they can find you online, and anything you want to plug.
Well, you can find me online at twitter.com/RobFike or at RobFike if you're already on Twitter, of course. And I'm there talking about stuff, and I'm promoting all, you know, podcasts and stuff through there too.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining me on this month's episode of Sci-Fi Camp. So in the meantime, thanks once again for hanging out with us today, and please feel free to continue the conversation online and watch anything sci-fi because it's the most amazing genre out there. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
This podcast was produced by Andak Media. Andak is dedicated to helping creatives find community and support for their creative passions. You can find more info about Andak Media at andak.us. That's andak.us. If you've enjoyed our content, you can offer support on Patreon at patreon.com/andak. We offer perks for all of our patrons, including exclusive podcast episode polls, monthly AMAs, and exclusive patron-only merchandise. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoy the rest of your day.